Hello and welcome to Walnut Grove Cast, finally.
And Landon Nation.
And especially Landon Nation.
Most especially Landon Nation.
Well,
Landon, so I think that your song it was a very, very thematic to the episode that we're talking about. So that was, mine was just like, hey, let's try this song.
You know what would sound pretty good?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's all right. I mean, that's what. You know what?
What Landon Nation is all about. This is maybe a little different for the Walnut Grove Cast world, but this is what Landon Nation is all about.
Two things inspired this particular this particular review of this episode and everything. One is you're having a baby, so we are having Baby Palooza 2 to celebrate the dose child.
Correct,
because we have to have Spanish in every episode.
Yes.
Dulce. So, and on Landon Nation, people should head over to LandonNation.com and check that out. We're a little bit more goofy, maybe. Is that fair to say? Not goofy, but we try more things.
We're pretty experimental, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like the White Stripes in 1998. 99.
We're kind of like bringing in a lot of kind of musical elements, I think. And one of the things that we're experimenting with, which is what we were kind of just doing, is picking songs and playing it with the, which is all visual. So when this makes it to YouTube, people will have to go to YouTube and watch it.
Well, but sadly, I don't know.
Pairing up the intro with the
I don't know if these will ever make it to YouTube just because of NBC's ownership of Little House, and they would pull it down. So these might be like Patreon type of things only. But, you know, if they can get onto YouTube, they'll be on YouTube.
Well, we'll get them out there somewhere, somehow.
Some great way. You know what? Maybe that's what the watch party should be, is just playing these things, you know?
That could be fun.
That could be fun. Kelly, welcome to the show. Welcome to Baby Palooza 2. And I would like you to be my friend.
Be my friend!
This original.
Yeah, so your song, sorry I cut you off, but your song actually was the message in the bottle thing was pretty spot on for the contents of this episode.
I'm not a big Police fan. I'm not a big Sting fan. I don't know why. It's kind of like he sings like he's a Rastafarian or something. I don't really get
that. Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of talked about this earlier when you asked me my thoughts on playing the song for it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of the same way where, I mean, I'm not really into the Police. I mean, I don't think it's like the worst thing. Like if I'm just like somewhere and it's playing, I can live with it, you know, but I'm not just going to be like, I want to listen to the Police.
Like if U2 is on and the Police, I'm going to probably listen to the Police personally over U2. Not
U2. I would probably agree with that.
Although U2 does, you know, totally accomplish musicians and all that kind of stuff, I just, I don't know, something about it. But you know what I'd rather listen to is neither. I'd rather listen to some David Rose rocking out in the boombox. That would be the ultimate kid right there, bringing a boombox to school with some David Rose cranking out of it. Yeah, that'd be awesome. So, yeah, we're talking about Be My Friend. It originally aired January 30th, 1978.
Season 4, episode 17.
Yeah, and we got to look at some old notes, because the last time this was reviewed was several years ago. And, this is when I used to put a little bit of work into the notes.
Yeah, I think this is when you were trying to kind of do actual, like, informational stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we are, to some extent, informational anyway. But I think that the direction that we've taken things with our podcasting is a little bit more in the experimental. Yeah. And kind of like a synthesis of different pop culture elements, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say so. I was trying to introduce a little too many factoids from IMDb and like Wikipedia. Although there is that one factoid you pointed out that you didn't even know. Which is very, that makes me happy.
Yes.
Melissa Gilbert had a broken arm in this episode.
But you know, she has a contract. Now, she has to do the episode. You're going to cover up the arm.
Olivia Barish told me. No, I'm just kidding. I should like make up like crazy stories. I'm like, listen, Olivia Barish told me that Melissa Gilbert asked for a raise and Michael Landon broke her arm.
Incredible.
So this episode is really different than most Little House on the Prairie episodes. I think that it's really beautifully filmed. It's very different than all the
other episodes. It is one of those ones that has kind of a little bit more of a cinematic quality compared to just kind of like your average episode of the show.
Right.
And it's a really interesting episode. There are obviously elements of tragedy in it. And I mean, with the baby palooza stuff, I mean, I try to kind of pick episodes that are more celebratory, you know, than tragic. But this one, I mean, I think the ending, I mean, the thing with the dad at the end is weird, but
I hate it.
I mean, we'll get into it, but I mean, like that whole, the dad is like such a problem. But,
when I was a kid, I hated this episode. All right. I don't know if it was because there wasn't that much Little House, even though there kind of is a good amount of, you know, the characters in it. I didn't like it or whatever, but it's a great episode, I think.
Yeah, well, so I do not remember watching this at all when I was a kid. I just, like, the first time that I remember this episode was when Pete and I were on that binge of Little House right after we got married. I saw this episode. I was like, I have no memory of this, but I'm like, this is a pretty good episode. Like, it's pretty interesting. And I just like totally didn't remember it. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit longer than,
it's a movie.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like kind of a weird length where like, it's not like it's a two-parter episode, but it's not, like a normal length episode,
but it still has moments where it drags.
Yeah, I've seen it contended that it wasn't really in syndication a lot because of the weird length. Yeah. And I'm like, was it just not on TV when I was watching it? Or like, did I watch it when I was a kid? And I was just kind of like, what the hell is this?
I watched
I wasn't into it.
I think they chopped it down to a normal length episode from what I saw, because there's a lot of filler in this episode. And
yeah. Well, and I mean, with the filler that they use, I mean, I think they draw it out way too long with Laura. There are all these scenes where she's like walking around in the woods looking for bottles. I mean, it's just sort of like, we get the point, right? And I think that they could indicate that that's going on without spending so much film time on it. Mm-hmm. But then a better use of that time, I think, would have been more time with Anna. And I would like to see a little bit more of her daily life, especially after she has this secret baby.
Yeah, because we learned that the baby was taken care of somehow.
Yeah, and I'm like, how is this happening? You know, and I mean, because like, and that's what, like, what I always think in this episode is like, so she has this baby, she leaves it like in the woods, but then newborns need so much care.
Right.
And I mean, like, it kind of bothers me to think about the baby just like being in the woods.
It's upsetting, like, right? Like, just to.
And I mean, and at that age, it's like they eat them to man, and you know, this stuff. So it's like you're kind of this like hungry, upset baby, like out of the woods. I don't like that, right? But I'm kind of. So, and then I'm like, I don't know what the whole routine is. And like with her father, how much time is her father in the house versus when he's away? How does she swing it with going to like see the baby, take care of the baby? I mean, she ends up wanting to give the baby up. So I think she realizes it's not sustainable, you know, like what she's doing, like the whole situation. I mean, obviously it's difficult and not really going to work in the long term, I guess, which is what she realizes. But the baby apparently has been fed enough and taken care of enough that Doc Baker says it's healthy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of want more information about stuff like that though. Instead of like all these scenes of Laura just kind of like wandering around looking for bottles.
I do want to point out, I looked up the original listings. I'm bringing it to the screen here. I probably can't see it cause it's so small, but that night at 8 p.m., you had Good Times on CBS and Baby I'm Back, I've never heard of. But then you had the $6 Million Man movie on ABC, which would be Channel 7 for me. And then Little House was an hour and a half. So this was legitimately only an hour and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
But you would need to fit in commercials. So I don't really understand. Maybe this is the director's cut or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I would have liked to know her background. I kind of like this character a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in the character and even getting maybe a little bit more background on her and the father's relationship, because it's like, well, we obviously know that they had a relationship, right? Yeah. I mean, like, they
did it.
Had a relationship to the extent that her father was, like, aware, right? And it was all like, I need to keep you away from him and stuff.
You think he walked in on them?
He's kind of crazy. Yeah, the dad is like pretty crazy.
You think he walked like in on them, and it's kind of like, oh,
well, you know? I don't know. I mean, because like I kind of wondered that, because he seems pretty like fixated on how just like any sort of, I mean, like even like the reverend guy that they find is like, he even thinks that marriage is sinful, you know, mm-hmm. like it's like he's just totally against like any sort of
union,
romantic, like any sort of like anything like that. And apparently even like a very like even like a very like, you know, proper marriage mm-hmm. type situation like he would be against is what it sounds like. And apparently he wants his daughter to not have, you know, any relationship, wants to keep her, which is like kind of weird because I don't know like where he, I mean, I don't think it's like, I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, like parents and fathers with daughters, you know, sometimes get kind of like weird about them. Like, you know, when they like are interested in dating and, you know, things like that. So that part of it is like,
I've been at the receiving end of that, of course.
Yeah, so, like, that part of it is, like, I mean, there are, you know, people do things like that, and people kind of, like, have a hard time with things like that. But this guy is, like, crazy about it. Like, he takes it, like, really far. Mm-hmm. But I did kind of wonder how much he knew about, like, you know, like, did he, like, catch them together? And then that was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back. Or was it just that, like, he was aware that they had this, like, connection, and he wanted to, like, you know, prevent it from escalating? I don't know. So like stuff like that would be kind of interesting to know more background.
You know who she really reminds me of, the way she looks, is an actress named Rachel Dratch, which I'm not sure if you know who she is. She plays on King of Queens, which is probably the only show I could probably use as an example that I know you've seen. She plays Spence's girlfriend.
I know who she is.
This girl.
And
that's, I kept thinking, I'm like, maybe they're related or something. They have the same kind of big bug eyes.
Yeah, like their eyes are kind of like a similar shape.
And not like bug eyes. I mean, I'm saying like big bug eyes. But I think I like her look.
Well, actually, even like her chin and stuff. Like she has kind of like the same like chin shape. And, interesting.
We have to reach out to her and find out. You want to be on Landed Nation? Well, you can't.
Yeah.
she's laying in bed. We're not really sure what's going on at this point, but we're kind of guessing. Also, my clips may be way off because this was originally clipped with a very heavily edited version of this episode, which I'd really like to find, because what's missing?
Right.
Soon. I know it's soon.
She's kind of like just alone, praying.
Dear God, please help me.
This is me after having way too much spicy food.
Or Taco Bell.
Yeah. I shouldn't have put those jalapenos on the tuna hero.
Angry for what I did. Don't be angry with my baby.
Aw. I really feel for this girl. And this was her first acting role, according to IMDb.
Yeah, I think she pulls off the role really well, I think. I also, another thing I would kind of like more detail about is, so she's hidden this pregnancy, obviously, from her father.
She could be 40, by the way, here.
What?
She could be 40 right here.
Oh, yeah. But later on, she does actually look really young.
She does, yeah. Just right here.
It's just like the lighting, I guess, and the angle, maybe. But so she's wearing kind of like this like nightgown thing all the time. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I wonder is that just like what she always was wearing? She apparently never left the house because her dad had her on like lockdown.
Yeah.
So was she always wearing that, or was she just wearing that because it was like baggy and she was trying to hide the pregnancy?
Well, I would imagine he would insist that she would always dress baggy and like modest, like extremely modest.
Yeah, that's true. I could see that.
Which is, you know, kind of like Sylvia, you know, like when she had to like tape herself down and stuff like that.
Yeah. So her dad actually has a lot in common with Sylvia's dad, because they both say like similar things, like about their mothers, right? Like about how their mothers like were like, you know, kind of implying that they were like women of the devil, essentially.
Yeah, with Sylvia, I think we know that she left him, right?
Yeah, and then this one, we don't know really. I kind of have a feeling that she left, Me too. I guess we don't really get like any hard evidence.
So she's just laying in bed, and she's up in like some type of loft. And
She's been climbing that ladder her whole pregnancy.
That's crazy. So the dad, Papa. The dad comes home.
Which I think that this is an experience that every young girl has at some point, where she's secretly in labor and her dad comes home.
The contractions are only 2 minutes apart. Let me go get the water. That's the Papa Malo music.
You know, it actually occurred to me that this could have been part of Papa Malo Palooza.
It still should. It might even need to make a double release. Double release.
Double Palooza.
Half of it, you know, because this is going to be like 3.5 hours. Once we get to our next music piece. I'm just kidding. As people start rolling their eyes.
What are you doing up there?
Just resting, Papa. You're home early. I didn't expect you for 2 more days.
The Lord was kind. The traps were full. It's too hot?
Yes, Papa.
It's always hot.
I'm
just making fun of him.
This also has a Dr. Quinn tie-in, because the dad is played by the same actor who played Walt Whitman on Dr. Quinn.
And those eyebrows. You cannot forget.
Yeah, and he has the prairie brow.
Yeah. I didn't recognize him from that at all, but when you
did not until recently I realized it, and then I was like, how did I not? Because then once I knew, I was like, duh. Yeah, I mean, that's totally the same guy. But it's like, how did I miss that? Like, for all these years, like, I never realized. And, you know, I'm always, like, picking out these people. I'm always like, hey, that's the guy from the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Like, how did I miss that? How did I miss it? It's crazy.
But, you know, it's not like he, you know, he looks very different in that. I'll bring it up. If I can. I mean.
Yeah.
He's kind of different looking.
Well, I mean, like, the big white beard, obviously, really. But then it's like, when you look at, like, the facial structure and everything.
Yeah, it's
like
all there.
Eyes, the eyebrows. Nose, it's like, yeah.
He might have even trimmed down those eyebrows for Dr. Quinn.
Yeah.
He had to tame them down.
Well, because of the big beard, you know. You can only have, like, one real standout feature.
Yeah. Papa Malo. Oh, and I just want to point out how nice the curtain is. Now that's...
Well, it's more than the Ingalls have.
That's kind of true. The Carters.
You could see this guy being like, I need to cover up the window so that boys can't peek at you or something, you know?
Yeah, completely.
Even though they live in the middle of nowhere.
Right. I'm surprised they even have windows.
Yeah.
So he picks up the Bible.
You have been kind and generous to me. Help me to be deserving.
No, there's nothing wrong with praying, right? I mean, you pray, we all pray. But they really turn it into this, like, evil thing in this scene. I thanking God for anything is totally, I think, okay in my book. And I don't know. The fanaticism is a little bit pushed here, because I don't really consider this guy to be very religious at all, because he really doesn't understand.
Well, no, that's exactly what I was thinking too. he's kind of like, I think that he has like mental issues, and it's manifesting itself in this kind of like what sort of appears to be like, you know, this like religious like zealotry, mm-hmm. but really the kinds of things that he's saying and the kinds of like ideas that he has, it's kind of like, but that's not even like biblical, you know, like it's like you're really not even
right
actually religious. I think you just have like these fixations, and that's just like kind of how it's playing out for you.
Is it possible, and I know this is a little bit of a stretch, is it possible his wife was Mrs. Peel?
Ooh, maybe.
Or Ms. Peel.
And is it possible that he, like Mrs. Peel, cannot read and therefore doesn't even know what the Bible says?
And all of the scripture that he understands is directly from Rachel Peel. I think
right.
That's
that actually would really fill in a lot of the gaps here.
Because I can see those two together. Sure. Why not? That's my new theory. It's our new theory. It's the Lego Nation theory.
This is now headcanon. Right.
Help my daughter to cleanse herself and her mind from me.
I mean, if he used the word Jezebel, I mean, it would be kind of evidence.
Like, perfect, yeah.
Evils of the flesh.
You almost, it's almost like she wants to go, I'm like, I'm right here. I can see, I can hear you. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to talk about me like I'm not in the room.
She's a mother's daughter, Lord, infected with the same evil. Help me to keep the devil from taking her away.
So, like, there he says that the mother was infected with the same evil. And apparently this, he's really fixated on, I guess, like, temptations of the flesh. I mean, does that indicate that the mother ran off with another guy?
Had to have. I mean, that's what I think. I think he walked
in. And then it's like, yeah. Was she tempted to run off because this guy sucks?
Yeah, I mean, come on. This guy's the worst. I mean, I think he definitely walked in on her and her boyfriend. And years ago, the wife left for another man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's it. Anyway, he just kind of goes on and on and on.
Well, also, sorry, on a related note, though, I think that it's not altogether uncommon that when parents are, like, really, really overly, like, crazy strict mm-hmm. about certain things, that, like, their kids, like, end up, like, going after those things, right?
Completely.
I mean, like...
Yeah. I mean...
And I'm not saying that, like... And, like, we don't really know the history of, like, the relationship between Anna and then the father of the baby and, like... You know, like how long they were like kind of together and all the things like that, and really like sort of what the father knew, like how much he knew about what was going on. But yeah, I mean, like if you're like not wanting your kid to do something, being like this crazy about it is really never the way that you prevent things from happening.
Yeah, like sitting and putting, you know, rules are fine, but you know, being crazy about it, you got to draw the line
right.
somewhere. I really like her hair. Like,
yeah,
just, you know, it's just one length, you know, kind of, but it's super healthy. It's very black stripes. It's very white stripes, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of, I could see Meg with that hair.
Yeah. This is like Meg's cousin.
And that is where my song ties in.
There you go. Exactly. It's Meg. So yeah, she's like, I have a stomachache. Any minute.
Now you eat.
Anyway, like, so he held her hand to pray, and it's like, you know, don't think of him anymore. And it's just really creepy.
I should get some water from the creek.
That sounds yummy.
Water in a barrel.
I'm not cold like the creek. I'll just be a few minutes.
So she goes out in basically a hurricane.
Yeah, it's crazy windy.
It's like insane. And... she's clearly going into labor, and
I mean, I think she's been in labor for a while. I mean, she was laboring already in the loft when her father got home, and now she's like, I have to go give birth right now, which this whole thing is actually crazy too, because it's like we have this young girl off in the woods having a baby by herself which is totally crazy. I mean, really anyone having a birth completely unassisted is kind of like, whoa, you know, because it's like,
It's scary.
People get assistance with these things from doctors, midwives, whatever.
And it's one thing to be an adult, right?
Well,
being anybody in this situation just would be horrifying. But she's a kid. You know, like,
yeah. I mean,
how old do you
think she is? And it's crazy. And like, you don't even, I mean, how old is she? I mean, I would guess maybe like, maybe 16.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think like her and the father are probably like later teens. You know,
but I think 16, in real life, 17. I think in real life, she's like 13.
What?
Yeah, I think so. Let me double check on that one because
she looks older than 13 to me, but maybe she is.
I'll find it out as we're doing. I'll play some of this. She's like, I heard that you can have a birth if you sit in the base of a tree.
I learned that from the medicine check.
People should check Dr. Quincast while they're here. And our most recent Baby Palooza 2, the Dr. Quinn medicine check.
Medicine check.
Yeah. And she has this like lean-to tarp thing that she's kind of created. It's a little clubhouse. We didn't get to see the inside of it.
Tie-in with Dr. Quinn. I think Sully would like that.
Yeah, I think he'd be impressed. And what is this, like, sheathing?
I don't know.
Wouldn't it have to be, like, leather, or I guess it could be burlap or whatever they made those curtains out of. So, yeah, she's in this thing. The dad is just like, I was wondering, what is he doing? He's just kind of staring at the table. It's like in Seinfeld when they're on the plane, you know, it's like, yeah. Do you want a magazine? Do you want, he's like, no. And he's like just staring at the back of the airplane seat in front of him. She's like, it's enough. We're breaking up.
Like, that's pretty funny.
Putty, right?
Yeah, so putty.
So she comes back and I have to give her credit. She's holding the bucket. She brought back a full bucket.
Some questions too. Mm-hmm. So she comes back and it's like stormy out. So she's kind of all like, you know, wet and stuff. Yeah.
It's dark out now, by the way.
But the nightgown is quite clean.
Yeah.
This is kind of like in Dr. Quinn when she has the baby in the woods. I'm like, she seems a little too clean, right? Like, where did all the blood and everything go? And also, I mean, just like, so she hid the whole pregnancy, obviously, from her father, had the baby in the woods, which she's now hiding from her father. But then now she's like in the house. And I mean, it's like, I don't want to get too graphic or anything, but after giving birth, I mean, it's like there's bleeding and, you know, everything that keeps going on for a while. So then it's like she would have to be using something, right, to be like containing the blood. And then what is she doing with that? And how is she hiding all that from her father?
Mm-hmm.
See, stuff like that, I would like more detail. So, like, instead of having, like, these montages, not really montages, but these, like, drawn-out things of, like, Laura looking for, like, the bottle or whatever, I would kind of like more detail about.
I do want to mention that the reason like that. Why I don't do my own taxes is because she's not 13, she's 23.
Okay. I was going to say, like, she looks way older than, like, this would be, like, the most mature 13-year-old ever.
But when I was watching, I'm like, she's 13. Look at this. Good gracious.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I think that her and the father are both probably, like, later teens.
And it's definitely the same dress, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's never known. Maybe she had backup dress, you know, in the lean-to. Maybe she had a duplicate, you know, like, all right, I did this.
Double dress.
So she comes back. She's just, you know, wet. I mean, as a male, I can't imagine having a baby anyway. But I can kind of imagine that it's something that is uncomfortable to just, you know, go walking around carrying a huge bucket of water.
They tell you, like, you're not supposed to lift, like, over a certain weight for, like, whatever. That's what they told me when I left the hospital last time. They're like, I don't know, they said I couldn't lift. I forget what the thing was, but like the baby in the car seat, mm-hmm. they were like, oh, Pete should do that.
So I don't think
Pete But then you have like women do stuff to do that. I mean, like there are like single mothers and stuff who mm-hmm. they don't have anybody to carry this stuff for them. So I guess they kind of have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you been so long?
The lightning frightened me. I hid until it stopped.
It's the Lord's way of showing his wrath.
I always thought it was bowling. I thought it was God bowling.
Rearranging his furniture.
She's like, oh God, he's on another like tangent again. let's see. Of course he has a complaint. Oh, no, he already had the complaint. He's like, my stew's cold. It's like, you know, it's not the hardest thing in the world to just throw it back in the bucket. And
right.
It has stopped now.
All right, this is where I thought she was crazy. Like, she ate the baby or something. It's like, no blinking. She has a Meg White look.
She has
look.
Kind of this weird little smile on her face. And I don't know, it's... It is kind of weird because I guess she's happy that she like, well, I mean, I suppose you'd be pretty relieved that you didn't like, you know, die giving birth by yourself in the woods. I mean, like the baby, it's like,
that baby's crying her head off right now.
She kind of feeling like joy that she gave birth. I don't know.
And I hate to think about it. And it's kind of like just thinking about puppies and all this kind of stuff. It just really upsets me, but especially a baby. That baby is alone in the rain crying, you know?
Yeah. Well, so that's what bothers me because it's like newborn babies require a lot of care. They need to be fed frequently. And I mean, how much does she know about how stuff like that, you know, like, I mean, does she know like much about newborns? Because we don't really know her history, right? We don't know like what she
also
knows and what she's been exposed to.
Is this another one of those situations where she's like, I didn't know I was pregnant?
Oh, yeah. She was just like, oh, that took a big dump.
Right. That feels better. Wait, it's a baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, she, like, clearly knew that she was pregnant at the beginning. But, I mean, when did she catch on to that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did she figure out that that's what was going on? I don't know. And I still think it's crazy, like, that she just went through the whole, like, she just went out to the woods and gave birth.
Yeah.
She's, like, young, and it's kind of, I mean... I guess a lot of things about it, it's kind of like instinctual, but you also kind of like don't really know what's happening, I would imagine. So.
Yeah. What does Dr. Quinn say? Like, Andrew's like, I can't believe that you do this type of operation here, you know? And it's like she's like saying something along the lines of they make do or something. I forget what she says. But I guess, like, you know, under whatever circumstances that exist, you figure a way to get it done.
Yeah.
It's, I guess it's one of those type of situations. Meanwhile, down at the creek, we have Bandit. And we see the bottle. And that's another thing I did once and I'll never do again. Is use live bait.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel bad about that too. I feel bad about everything. I have a guilty conscience.
Time I'm gonna bring cheese.
She doesn't feel bad about really bitching Bandit out.
Right. So she sees like a bottle. So wait. At first, do you think she's a little too old for the braids at this point? Season 4, towards the end.
Yes. She should be transitioning. She should already be out of them or be transitioning out of them.
Mm-hmm. She picks up the bottle, and you kind of hear Bandit say something in the background. It's like,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That actually worked really well. That's barking.
become a foot.
I forgot the present. I love that reggae part. I love the reggae part. But yeah, so there's a letter in it. She kind of has a hard time getting it out. You know, that's
if you find this, be my friend.
And that's all it says, but there's one more thing written on the back, and she's like,
my letter is T. My sound is T.
Maybe it's from Abel, she's thinking.
Yeah, right. Dom Abel is sending messages in bottles.
T. What are you going to put in your bottle, Abel?
My letter is T.
Yeah.
Somebody must be living upstream.
Abel has like 60 bottles, and it's like a sentence.
My letter is T.
Come on, Bandit, let's go see who it is.
It's like, don't be sniffing stuff. I don't know, you find a random bottle these days. It's not the smartest thing to just kind of crack.
Yeah, open. Right.
I remember in school we did something like this where you put a message in a bottle and we would throw it or something in the ocean. And I'm thinking, you know, the late 70s or early 80s was definitely a different time where you could litter.
Yeah.
And it's like part of school.
Yeah, it was your homework to litter.
Right. We have Pa like stringing up his electric fiddle. Violin.
I've seen you work so late on your homework, Cap. I'm proud of you.
It's not exactly homework, Pa.
Oh, in that case, I'm not so proud of you. What are you doing?
I'm trying to see how far this creek goes on the map.
Oh, I see.
There's no telling how far that bottle traveled before you found it.
I know.
Gotta remember, too, there's a whole bunch of little creeks that lead into that one. Could have come down to any one of those.
That's a good name for somebody in the Cheyenne Nation. Little Creek.
Little Creek?
Yeah.
I know that. It would be nice to have a new friend, though.
Maybe that should be the baby's Indian name, Little Creek.
Little Creek?
Yeah, why not?
LC.
More like Little Creep.
I'm afraid it would take a miracle to find this one.
I wish that creek would run the other way. Then I could send a note to my friend.
Well, now you're really looking for a miracle.
Now, this is kind of funny because you have Mary laughing and then gets called out, right?
I don't think it's funny, Mary. Miracles can happen.
I wasn't laughing at that. I was just thinking how funny it'd be if you went up that old creek looking for your friend and it turned out to be Nellie Olson put that note in the bottle.
And then you'd really be up the creek.
I love it. I love that nobody's
together,
laughing.
You'd be up the creek. My letter is T. It was kind of funny. Did you think it was funny, Carrie?
Well, Carrie, no one cares what you think.
Yeah, exactly.
I would probably have chuckled.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You give some type of sympathy laugh, right? For the old man. He's gonna.
I'm kind of okay with bad puns too. So
yeah, big time. I think he's really playing right there. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you can tell. Look at his hand.
Let's see. Apparently, she's like sneaking out. Anna is sneaking out to, I guess, care for the baby, feed the baby.
Yeah, presumably.
I mean, that's a lot of back and forth. So, and later on, we come up with, you know, I want to bring up the fact that, did you really need a map to find the person who had the baby? Because it had to be within walking distance, right? I mean,
well, I was wondering that how far they are, because it seems like it couldn't be that far. Like they kind of act like, oh, you don't know where that bottle came from. It could have come like so many miles. But I'm right. Like, well, with the frequency that she's finding them and everything, I think that they're probably
unlikely. Yeah.
It's unlikely that it's that far away. And apparently, so like when Laura goes fishing, so she's walking there and then she's finding the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just kind of does seem like it's close, but then it's kind of weird because it seems so removed from Walnut Grove.
Anna's nails look
but I kind of
nice.
Feel like it can't really be that far.
If you notice, Anna's nails are pretty nice. you know, they're kind of really decent. A little, I mean, you don't want to scratch the baby, so I would, I guess if you're careful, they're not that long.
Another thing with the baby is, like, what about diapering?
I would think it was just cloths, right? Oh, you mean
But I mean, like, where is she getting the cloth for it? What is she doing with the dirty ones?
I would think, like, she would just wear, like, an old dress underneath. And then when she gets there, she just takes off the dress and turns it into a bunch of diapers, maybe. So she, I don't know, she seems to have an endless supply of bottles, though. Seems to be a lot of those going around.
I did wonder where she was getting all the bottles.
So, like, kind of like medicine bottles or something. Mm-hmm. All right, so Mary and Laura's kind of obsessed with this now, which I think most kids would be even, right? You, like, you find a message, you're like, woo!
Right.
So Laura's like, I'm going to keep looking. And we get these kind of nice looking shots that we don't normally see on the show. Just in general, they kind of remind me of the, like, Disney movies. You know what I mean? Like those.
Yeah. I think, like, the shots and the music combined kind of have that feel.
It's like the shots are, like, kind of nice, like this, for instance. Like, it's lit from behind. It's different.
Another bottle.
She finds another bottle. And it's kind of funny because it's kind of like the same exact line from Isaiah. It's like, ooh, another bottle.
Yeah, that's true. You should go and hear it again, but I get first dibs.
So, yeah, so she opens it, and it's another message, which you have to kind of wonder what this one might say. Write more than just, like, be my friend. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, right. Name, location, situation.
Age, sex, location.
Yeah.
ASL.
She said, like, well, she has, like, a Tinder profile.
Right, exactly.
That's written down on the thing.
So she opens it up and she's like,
my letter is T. My sound is T.
Tuh.
Tuh.
Dear friend, if you find this, my eyes are brown, and this is my hair. Be my friend.
I wipe my butt on this paper.
Ah! I wipe my baby's butt on this paper.
Right. Ah, oh, poor baby. So Laura comes home really late. Everybody's like, I'm going to beat this kid. This is the kind of night that I'm sure you're not looking forward to, which will likely happen at some point, when, you know, in another 15 years or something. For me, it's going to happen any day now, where your kid just goes out and it's like you didn't touch base and you're freaking out. At least I would. I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things I absolutely put my mother through. I've come home with the same face.
Didn't realize how late it was.
All right, upstairs now.
Uh-oh. I mean, that's a voice.
Pa's mad.
Yeah.
Go on.
What are you saying? Go on. And listen to Carrie. Carrie's like,
who's gonna get it?
All right, young lady, suppose you tell me where you've been. I don't want you ever, ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Basically the same tone, right?
Yeah.
I was walking.
You were walking, not towards home, I take it.
No, sir.
I can't hear you.
No, sir.
Then where were you walking?
All right, so let's compare the Malos, or the Papas, rather. I'm sorry.
compare the Bads.
Let's compare Charles's reaction to Laura not, you know, going out for hours and then, you know, returning home versus Anna's dad. I mean, Anna's dad was less aggressive, I felt, in the circumstance.
Yeah, he was, but I think that he is a lot more, like, psychologically abusive.
Yes, yeah.
Like, on a daily basis.
Well, Charles tells those jokes. He makes them listen to his music.
Which, like, here, like, yeah, Pa is being a little bit aggressive.
Yeah.
Just, like, we don't really see him yelling at his kids much on the show.
But he's mad, and he's scared, and he's upset. I mean, I'm of course, making a, you know, I'm just joking.
Well, and I mean, well, then, but then, I mean, like, he does, like, I mean, he kind of, once he gets it out of his system, then he does calm down quickly, you know, talks to her and stuff, so.
He's a softie.
Along the creek.
Now, do you have any idea how upset we get when you just disappear?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Well, sorry is not good enough. Now, I haven't given you a whipping in a long time, and I think I've been making a mistake.
No, Pa, please don't. I didn't
mean
it.
Has he ever whipped her, though? I mean, we never see evidence of him whipping his children.
Why do I think that we have? I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, the closest I can think of anyone getting really beat on the show, like a main character, was when Nels took his belt.
Mm. Yeah, right. So we see other kids getting, you know, spanked and whipped or whatever, however you want to put it. But I don't know that we ever see one of the Ingalls children.
Yeah.
Found another bottle. It was so sad.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on.
So lonely. Just had to try one more time.
And this is kind of like something that happens with Laura a lot. She gets obsessed.
Mm, yeah, she does.
Yeah. With Manly.
I mean, it's like all Brenda Sue had to do was say hi to Amonzo. And suddenly she thought that, like, they were having an affair.
Oh, come on. I think most women know what she was up to.
I think Brenda Sue was playing some games, but
it has to be a dust up.
Yeah.
All the ink everywhere.
Yeah.
So she gives the letter to Pa. He has a hard time getting it out, so he opens it.
My letter is T.
Tough.
My sound is T.
Whatever it is doesn't have a friend. Like they're all alone.
Yeah, and he's just so, like, he's a softie. He's like, look, he's like, it's all right.
I'm not looking for these bottles anymore, all right?
All right.
I promise.
Promise.
And she lies, because she goes right back.
She is, like, as soon as possible, back doing it again.
Like, that night, she goes out, like, she's looking. We get a shot of Anna, and she's just really sad, and she's writing another letter. What's weird is Anna's only outlet, I guess, is to write these letters, put them in a bottle, and send them off in the hopes that somebody finds them. And
I mean, she really has no communication outside of her crazy father.
What are the odds that Laura's finding, you know, each one?
Every single one. Are there other bottles?
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even think of that. Maybe there's like 50 bottles out there.
Everybody's looking for this girl.
Yeah.
I think it would have been pretty interesting if Bobby found a bottle.
That'd be awesome.
Because then he'd be like, Anna!
Anna! I thought we were going to get a scene where he's yelling, Anna! I'm pretty sure I've never seen this scene before with the milking of the cow.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a silly scene, but basically Laura's milking a cow and the cow's not uttering. I don't know what you call this. And she prays, which I thought is kind of funny. And all of a sudden, the milk comes.
But then when she prays and then she says that she needs the milk for a friend or something. So I was like, is she talking about Anna? Because where does the milk come into play there?
Well, I think she's saying she has to help a friend. I'll play it.
Dear Lord, I hate to ask you for something as silly as this.
By the way, this music is so 70s, it's ridiculous.
It's actually really loud for this scene, too.
Yeah.
as busy as you are now and all. Well, I sure wish you'd make this cow give the rest of her milk. It's for somebody who needs a friend.
I think it just means, like, for her to get going. Like, the choring has to be done. We've never heard this music elsewhere. It's so weird.
It's kind of crazy. I saw this thing on the Little House Reddit this week or last week or something. It was recently where someone pointed out, which is very noticeable, that there are very many versions of the Little House theme song, like different renditions of it that appear throughout the series. But there were pretty much like, did David Rose only write like the one theme song and like all the music is just a different version of that? And I'm like, well, there are a lot of versions of it. Yes. But I'm like, there's a lot of stuff that's not theme song.
Yeah, I don't.
Music. I mean, a silly comment. I'm like, did you pay attention to the whole show? Because there's actually like a lot of music in it that's not the theme song.
It's funny. I was just talking to Ramiel about this. Like, he's taking some film class at school, and we brought up the Marx Brothers. And in Horse Feathers, I think it's Horse Feathers, they have a song called Everybody Says I Love You. And each member of the Marx Brothers plays the same exact song in their own style. And throughout the entire movie, it's the only. Like, the score is different versions of it. And I thought it was just a clever thing. And in that instance, yeah, it's one song. But with this, I mean, it's an iconic theme. It's, of course, going to be used everywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that we have some. We actually do have a lot of little pieces that are not the theme song, you know, that appear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the Meet Me at the Fair music, for example.
Right.
Or like the Almanzo theme. And then there's like a Mary thing. And, you know.
Well, even the Papamallo droning, you know, that is, you know, an orchestra playing it. It's not, even though I would love to know that it's true, it's not Charles Ingalls in his basement smoking a lot of cigarettes with his synthesizers.
Oh, and like the episode with the anthrax. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. It's like Jaws.
Bump, bump.
Jack.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're kind of low on salt.
Land's sakes, your pa does love his salt.
I don't know. I've never heard of Charles loving salt. Right? Sugar.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know that is kind of interesting. But, you know, I love salt. Oh, I love salty things. And I love adding salt to things. So I'm like, I guess I have something in common with pa.
Now, do you use, like, kosher salt? Or, like, do you use, like, the, like, iodized?
I've used both.
Yeah, no, we've
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I use iodized, but I mostly, I like larger granule salt.
I do, too.
Or pink Himalayan, when I can afford it.
Fancy.
I like a little dirt in my salt. That's essentially all it is. Actually, I think I told you about this. Yeah, I totally told you about this. Because we were talking about, like, cheap coffee. And I said, you put a pinch of salt in it, and it really gives a different character.
Right. Yeah, you did tell me about that. And I did try it, actually, after we had that conversation.
Oh, you tried it, and you're like, blech.
Well, it was, like, because we the only coffee we had was, like, a cheap one, and it was, like, you know, pretty bitter. And I was like, oh, actually, that's got to make it a little bit more palatable.
Yeah, maybe we should revisit that idea of the Charles Ingalls coffee. I bet you
people. Yeah.
Yeah, the midnight. What did you call it?
The Nightly Gallon.
The Nightly Gallon is the funniest name. I was just laughing about that. Oh, we'll talk about it. Maybe it's new products that will come late 2024 or 25.
Ma, if you don't need me in town, I'd just as soon go fishing.
So these shots are all like really different shots. We don't get them so much. And what is she Oh, yeah, she's writing a list of things to buy.
Well, I thought you wanted to pick out material for your new dress.
No, you pick the best anyway.
All right.
Thanks, Ma.
Just don't pick out anything too ugly. All right, so Laura goes back to hunting, and she's like, I guess I'm not going to find anything. And we get like kind of like the butterfly effect type situation here, where she has a stick, and she throws it into the creek. It makes the bottle, which was stuck on a rock, kind of become unstuck. I mean, if she had not thrown that stick, she may never have like made this entire thing happen, you know?
Right.
And we don't get to see stuff like that in Little House. You know, I don't think there's any other instance of one tiny thing making all of this other stuff happen.
I'll have to think about that if there's another time that we see that.
And these shots are nice. She sees a bullfrog. And then she sees the bottle of booze. It's like, this is me, be my friend. It's like, all right, you're getting a little bit weird now.
And then, this is the one with the picture.
Yeah. She has her little, like, bow tie on. I mean, it's kind of crazy that she even has this photo. Like, I wouldn't even imagine her father would allow her to be photographed.
I mean, he seems like the kind of person who would think that photography is, like, sinful or something.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm sorry, I have to send something. Rami's trying to log into Amazon. And he needs this code. You know the code that they say don't share with anyone?
Yeah, you can share it with your son. Yeah.
If it really is him, maybe they hacked his phone. I'm tricked. So yeah, now we have like a photo of her, and she goes to Pa.
My friend's a girl, Pa.
Half pint, I told you.
Oh, I know. But I know which creek now. I found it. I don't know how far away she is, but I know we can find her.
Is it Shit Creek?
Honey, she could be days away.
Or hours. Please, Pa, let's just look a few hours, please.
Or hours.
Yeah.
It's like the day. What are you talking about, you know?
How many days do you think have passed since she had the baby?
Oh, wow. Oh, the baby. Well, from the looks of the baby, about 6 months, right?
Right.
I'm going to say, I don't know. I want to say it maybe a week or two. There's no timeline.
Yeah. Well, so it's just so weird. I mean, I don't think it could have been too long, because I think that if it went on for too long, the baby would be in some real health danger.
Yeah.
Which isn't the case. I don't know, but we don't really get a sense of the passage of time too much.
The only time that I notice where they mention anything is when Charles goes out with Bobby, and they mention they've been out for 5 days.
Charles
hanging out with a complete stranger for 5 days is no problem. Oh, yeah, hey, well, I can drop everything.
Well, that stranger is Charles Ingalls.
But, you know, like, Charles is like, listen, either we find this girl or I'm going to have to raise this girl.
I'll take you home too, Bobby.
You think he was disappointed when he found out it was a girl? He's like, oh, bring me another girl.
Well, and then we're not that far away from them meeting Albert. So then he's like, all right, a boy.
Finally. I think you're a boy, right, son? Banter between Pa and Laura is kind of funny. I'll play a little bit of it.
Coming off a long ways.
Please, just a little bit farther.
All right, we'll go another hour, and then we're going to go back.
Another hour?
Yeah, this is going to be, like, quite a long walk.
And they discuss it. They walk 6 miles out. It's a pretty good hike.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pa.
And this is before, like, comfortable shoes and stuff. This is just, like, basically them walking on, like, wooden leather.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing, you sure are persistent.
What's persistent?
Well, it means once you get something into your head, you just don't let go of it.
Well, then I guess I'm kind of like you, Pa.
That's like, your laugh right there just reminded me of the Count from Sesame Street. they're walking and they hear one of the creepiest things you could ever hear if you're in the forest. And who put this together? I mean, it's like a Sully thing where
it is, but it's not even in that little kind of like shelter thing she had. It's just kind of by a tree.
Yeah. And where'd you get this nice basket and everything, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of things about this. I'm like, this, I don't really know where she gets all this stuff. It's not really adding up. The bottles, the basket, all these blankets.
Right, and the baby
does... How is she caring for the baby at all? I mean, it's pretty crazy.
The baby does look, like, very cozy in there, of course. And...
Oh, Pa, it is a baby.
You think?
Some sort of a note here.
Some kind of note.
My letter is friend. Please love me.
You mean someone left a baby here all alone?
Not just someone, Half-Pine. It was that friend of yours. She said those bottles down the stream. So somebody come. You stay here with
the... Could use those bottles as baby bottles, probably.
Yeah.
Baby, I'm gonna have a look.
So Laura's like, I've got a baby. So yeah, she's just kind of, you know, like anybody, you see a baby and you're like smiling, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. Charles goes around looking, finds pretty much nothing.
Did you find anything, Pa?
Not a thing. How's the baby doing?
She's a girl. She's fine. She's sound asleep. Why would anyone want to leave a baby out here like that?
I don't know, Half-Pine.
Aw. So they're like, we better take her back.
And that was kind of a...
Yeah, this, whoa. This is a very Sylvia little moment right here, right?
That's like kind of like a Sylvia type shot.
Yeah, because she's... you know what? You know what? Let's compare it a little bit. Because remember, in Sylvia, he was... The guy with the mask on was like watching from a distance. You know?
Right.
We used to get a close-up of his eye. And this time we get a close-up of her eye, but there's no evidence that she was raped. Now, when I first saw this, for some reason I thought they were going to go to the route where the father had, you know, was the dad.
Oh.
Which would be awful. You know, that, what would be...
Oh, right, because, like, at this point, we don't know that she had the...
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, that, I mean, that would be, of course, really awful on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Including that... He's all obsessed with, like, keeping her away from, like,
right.
temptations of the flesh. And it would be, like, which, I mean, I think that sometimes people that do get really fixated on things like that, like, actually are, like, you know, sort of, like, a vice that they have, too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, that kind of actually would have been, that would have been crazy.
Would have been... Would have
I mean, I'm glad that that's not the case.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
it wasn't her father, of
but
course.
From an entertainment point of view, it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
For us. Then that would be the number one Papa Mallow.
Yeah, like, ultimate Papa Mallow.
So she comes back, and she's really in a good mood now because she's thinking this baby is going to be raised by people, by someone. Like, I don't have to worry about the baby anymore.
You shouldn't wander off like that.
I'm sorry.
Look at that eyebrow. That's crazy.
He, like, just got done curling them.
I mean, that's like a solid inch off his face.
It is.
From now on, you stay close to the cabin.
Like, he can measure things with that. Like, can he get a 4 4 eyebrow length of...
Yeah, Papa.
Yes, Papa.
Eyebrow length. It's the forgotten measurement.
You promise?
I promise. I'll get supper ready.
She's like, yeah, I don't like it that you're promising.
And he's kind of looking at her like, why is she so agreeable?
Right, like, why are you in such a good mood? It's like me walking into any, like, store. Hey, good morning. How are you? It's like, what are you so happy about?
You seem happy.
I am happy, Papa. Very happy.
She has her birthing dress on.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's like the only thing that she wears.
Yeah. She's getting her girlish figure back. That's why she's happy. 13, huh? There was, like, something else where I kept insisting on the age of someone. This is, like, a long time ago.
Yeah, we were talking about Highway to Heaven, and you were trying to insist that Michael Landon was like 21. 30 something. It was something really ridiculous.
No, he's 32, I'm telling you. Yeah. What are you, nuts?
So the baby's, don't we get a close-up of the baby at some point?
Yeah, your sister's right. You're going to sleep upstairs. You got to act like a big girl, okay?
All right.
You go on to sleep now.
So Carrie's getting to go to the, you know, upper level. She's, you know, she's like an expensive bottle of whiskey.
She's moving on up the world.
Literally moving on up. So, yeah, Laura's going to sleep in Carrie's bed next to the stick wall. And we get the best view of the stick wall I've ever seen.
Are you sure you don't want to sleep in your own bed? You can't even straighten out in this one.
I'm fine, Ma, really.
I mean, look at that. You can see where the plaster... Like, why wouldn't he just finish it?
Besides, I should be the one to keep an eye on her. It's because of me she's here.
And Ma, I'm going to keep an eye on you, too. Have a great view of you guys.
All right. The goat's milk is on the hutch. After you warm it, be sure and test it.
Goat's milk? I mean...
I have heard of people like using goat's milk for babies, really? And I think it's supposed to be more agreeable than cow's milk, you know, like for an infant.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I still, I mean, I don't know, like the.
I mean, this baby, I would imagine any type of milk outside of mother's milk would be disagreeable, but I mean, baby's like so young.
But I mean, I guess really like, so if you're during this time period, so it's like, if you're in a situation like this where it's like, you have this baby, so it's like not your baby or anyone in your family or whatever. Right. So it's like, you're not like, so it's like, okay, obviously Laura's not nursing, right? I mean, no. She didn't just give birth, no. But then it's like, if you don't have somebody who can, you know, provide milk for the baby.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You have
to, and then it's something. Like. When we talked to, you know, I think Baby Palooza 1, we had that conversation, or at some point we had a conversation on Dr. Quincast, where we, like, about, like, the beginning, like, we found some years for, like, when formula was kind of started and invented. And I want to say it was, like, the 1860s, 1870s. So maybe a little bit of that would have been around in this time, but, like, probably not overly common and probably not real accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I doubt it's something that, like, the mercantile is carrying.
Remember Lauren? Lauren had that in that Dr. Quinn episode.
Yeah, yeah, the Liebig's baby food.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, so it's like... But you're, you know, until things like that really become accessible and... I mean, you know, you really aren't left with a lot of options, but,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, really, that could have been even like, you know, the childhood mortality rates, infant mortality rates were really high for a number of reasons back then. And I mean, like the baby feeding could have been one of them, you know, because if the baby's in a situation like this where it's like, we have to feed the baby somehow, but, you know, people start feeding babies things that they shouldn't have, and then the baby gets sick and... You know,
you've had goat's milk cheese.
I have, yes.
I mean, personally, I don't like it. And that's all I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, like, how much I don't like goat's milk cheese. It's not I guess it's agreeable with me. I just don't like the taste.
Yeah, I guess I don't really remember it making a big impression one way or the other on me. I've had it, but I guess I don't really give it a lot of thought.
I know this place is strange to you, but you don't have to worry. I'm right here.
This baby has, like, the craziest head of hair.
Yeah.
And I have to say it, because I was watching it before. And it's not this shot, because there is a shot of the baby where we get a good view. The baby looks like Baby Hitler, right? And then I'm... You know, Hitler was born in 1889, but this is a girl, but it's a girl. So it's just, it would have, if it was a boy, my theory would be that this is Baby Hitler.
Oh my gosh.
Which would have been a good theory, but of course, being that she's a female. Unless Hitler had some type of transition happen, but I don't think that was happening. But 1889 is very close to 1878. So close. Could have been a good theory, but it just died right there on the vine.
Maybe his mother when she was a little girl.
So the Ingalls are just kind of talking about things.
It could be. Certainly warm. It's not much to go on.
Well, it doesn't make any difference anyway. Even if we could find the mother, and that'd be a miracle. She doesn't want the child, that's obvious.
So she has the idea of, like, going and asking around for the girl. Because when they brought the baby to... Oh, no, they actually don't do this yet. Sorry. It's the next scene. They're going to bring the baby for a checkup at Doc Baker's. Why do you think Laura doesn't want Carolyn to come?
Because like, she wants to be the mother.
Yeah, I guess. It's cute. And Caroline does agree that she doesn't have to go. I don't know how the baby's going to get home. You know? It's like Charles is going to bring the baby and then drop Laura off at school. What, is he going to ride the wagon and carry the baby at the same time? And we get a little bit of comic relief, thank God, with the Olsons.
Ends with a new mother.
Harriet, please, you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
I am not! Now it is up to you to discipline the boy. All right.
Willie, were you or were you not looking at the corset ads in the catalog?
I wasn't. You were too. Harry. Now I saw you. Well, he was. Willie. I know what.
Well, this is another thing in common with the Sylvia episode.
Yeah, because they were looking at the catalog, right? It's kind of interesting. And the way it's like, how she freaked out about Willie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see one.
Now, Willie, let's get to the bottom of this. I want the truth.
I was looking up candy, and I got off a few pages.
Now, what does candy have to do with corsets?
Well, if nobody ate any candy, then they wouldn't need any corsets, would they?
And this is something we've discussed in the past, where we get a little bit of kind of a cheap fat joke towards Harriet,
mm-hmm.
which I think is unfair. I think we both definitely agree that Harriet isn't fat. Like she's
no right she's not
curvy, you know,
like, I remember this line in Karen Grassley's book when she was talking about the actress, and then she like said something to the effect of like, oh, she was just really big bone, like that was all her. And I'm like, but you're still making it sound like she was big, and like right. she really wasn't. I mean, like, fuller figured, sure, right? I mean, like, she is not like hips. I wouldn't say it's like she's not petite, she's not like thin, but I mean, like, she's not like they act like she's like obese, and like she totally isn't. And I actually think she's very proportionate.
Now,
you know, like she's very like, I don't, there's nothing wrong in love with like her body and how it looks.
And if she had been a little bit more obsessed with her weight, I guess maybe it would be a little bit more fun, but she doesn't seem like to be somebody who is obsessed. Right.
I mean, really, the only time we see her being kind of upset about it is when her cousin's going to come visit and she thinks her cousin is really thin.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like going to go on the diet. Though I think it's the episode when Adam gets his sight back. And then she was going to go on the diet, but then she's not very good at it. But then when her cousin arrives and then she sees that her cousin actually gained a lot of weight, so then she's okay with it.
All right. I remember that. And they were like, oh, you know. That was a cute little scene. Right, so they go on.
Really?
Really?
Well, your sister's fat, you know?
Yeah.
She should have said.
The thing just went away, by the way.
Just saw that. Bink. Back. All right. So, yeah, we get our little comic relief. Charles comes in with Laura and the baby. Oh, this is where it looks like baby Hitler.
Oh, yeah. The hair, too. Wow.
It's kind of like all of a sudden to be a weird time traveler. We must kill the baby. And Charles is like, no, we cannot kill the baby. Thanks, Charles.
Oh, that was kind of a funny Charles voice. Yeah,
this brute. Wait.
He was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's gone now. This is funny.
Bye.
So she's like, whose baby is this? She goes to Charles.
This is Olsen.
Mrs. Olson.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, I'd like to go up and talk to Nels for a minute if I could.
Oh, yes. Yes, certainly. Mr. Ingalls, the baby.
Yeah, she's cute, isn't she?
Oh, yes, certainly is. Whose baby is it?
Oh, you didn't know. That's Laura's. Huh. She won't even let Carol and Linda in.
She just, like, freaks out.
I mean, so I think it's funny that Charles is just messing with her.
I love it. I love the fact.
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, me too.
But I also think it's completely ridiculous that, okay, so Harriet really thinks that Laura had a baby.
Right.
And, like, she sees Laura all the time. You really think that Laura went through a whole pregnancy and had a baby and, right, like, you were unaware of it?
It's idiotic. So she looks out the window. She sees Willie with Laura and the baby.
And then this gets even more insane. Like, does she think that Willie impregnated Laura?
Oh, my Willie. Oh, no. My Willie. My baby. Oh.
That's so funny.
The thing is black for me, by the way.
Just, oh, my gosh.
FYI. So it is really funny, but it's ridiculous and it's insane that she's even thinking that. But another thing I think is a little unexpected is that Willie is just kissing this random baby.
Yeah. Can you see the back of her head yet?
I can.
Good.
I do like the dress that Harriet has on.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite dresses that she has.
Yeah. She could always, this is like something that the Quinns would even wear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, at the doctor's office, we find out.
Heart's ticking away like a railroad watch. This babe certainly has been neglected. Been eating good. Happy little thing.
Now, did he say the babe has been neglected?
Yeah, he said that the babe has been neglected, but then he also says, like, is eating good, or which I guess, like, now it's eating good now that Laura is taking care of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to hear that, you know, that's really upsetting.
Yeah,
clean bill of health. Whoever had this baby, here,
see,
but then that doesn't make sense.
Wait, let's play that again.
You just said the baby's been neglected, but then it was taken care of. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, hold
on, sticking away like a railroad watch. This babe certainly hasn't been neglected.
Yeah, right?
Been eating good. Happy little thing. Clean bill of health. Whoever had this baby cared.
Thank God for that.
Cared very little.
What do you do now, Charles?
I mean, he is saying has been neglected and not hasn't been neglected, right?
I mean, it sounds to me has been.
That's neglected. What I hear too.
But what makes most sense is has not been neglected, or
because then he goes on to say that it was cared for.
So weird. So they look on a map and they're like, "Well, this
line right here." Right.
There's only like what, 6 towns written on this map, right? And it just so happens that it actually, this isn't even a town. This is just like 2 like tools.
Boss, well, that'd be the closest up the line.
You couldn't just memorize that? You needed the map?
See that?
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. There you go.
That could be the mother.
Like, I don't think...
I mean, come on! Detective Baker right here.
So, your official word is, that could be the mother.
Yeah.
Well, she's white and the baby's white.
Yeah.
So could be. So they let's see, they're off, right?
You're welcome. If there's anything else I can do for you, Charles, just call on me.
Appreciate it, Doc. Thanks very much.
No charge. Free for everyone. Right? Like no discussion of money, nothing.
Yeah, not even an exchange of apples or anything.
Yeah, kind of like they could have even said, like, hey, you know, I appreciate this, how much? And it's like, oh, don't worry about it, Charles, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, they don't even bring it up.
We have a 2-minute prayer from Laura. It's literally 2 minutes long.
That's actually pretty long.
Yeah, it's a long prayer to, but basically, her prayer. You know, I kind of got lost in the prayer. What was she really praying for? Just that the baby will be okay? Look at that stick wall. See the way it's kind of like discolored over here?
Isn't it? Now I'm trying to remember because it was so long I didn't totally pay that close of attention. Was it that she wants to keep the baby or something? I don't
know. Yeah, maybe she wants to keep the baby. I'll play some of it.
Maybe. If Pa wasn't to find Grace's mom, I could be your mom forever.
Yeah, Seth said she wants to be the baby's mom.
Maybe it'd be a good idea if he didn't find her.
You go be your own ma. Laura.
Then can everybody in the house hear this?
Right, she's only
she's
like
at the foot
feet.
Of Ma and Pa's bed, basically.
It's literally 10 feet away, yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, so then Charles, of course, does hear it. He's like, can you shut up, half-bite?
trying to eat popcorn.
Trying to eat popcorn. This is that guy.
Wait, Charles did hear it, though, right?
Yeah, he did hear, see?
Yeah, because he's totally just sitting there like, oh, crap.
Like, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
So he goes to that town that they were talking about and goes to the reverend / captain of
fire captain.
Who's like, yeah, this looks like so-and-so, and she ran around with Bobby so-and-so. Let me take you down, and we're going to talk to them.
The captain wants to talk to you.
Howdy, Reverend.
Bobby looks only straight out of the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, I thought it was Rodimus Para from a distance.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
Kind of has that look.
Minute clock. Bobby, this is Charles Ingalls.
Be funny if Charles kind of felt his hair. He's like, yep, it's yours.
Mr. Ingalls?
Bobby. I'm trying to find a girl. The Reverend said you knew her. Anna Mears.
He should just try to run.
I wish I knew where she was. Her pa took her off on the day I asked for her hand. He said if I ever saw her again, he'd kill me. I love Anna. I always will, I think.
My current girlfriend disagrees.
Well, so that's right. So that was it. So when he asked her, when he proposed, then her father took her away. So maybe that really is all that happened and that he didn't see.
Yeah, maybe that was
so, like, this whole thing is just that, like, he doesn't want her to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, really going over the top about it.
The Reverend basically drags it out of him. It's like, you were close, right?
Yeah, the Reverend has a... some pretty crazy eyebrows.
Does he? Hold on, let's...
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he's got something going on.
Know that.
Yeah. But then, like, the way that he does, he kind of is like, yeah, come on, just admit it.
Come on. I saw this girl. Come on. Yeah, those eyebrows are pretty good. They're, like, kind of combed up.
Yeah, they are.
I think that I think Michael Landon might have had a thing for, like, long eyebrows.
It's crazy how many of the people on the show have these insane eyebrows.
Yeah. Bobby is going to reveal to his father what happened. We don't see it, but he approaches his dad.
You're a grandpa!
By the way, they're blacksmiths, right?
Yeah.
So it's, again, a Sylvia type of thing going on.
Oh, yeah, another overlap.
Kind of strange. There's a lot of things going on. So, yeah, off we think that Bobby's dad, who seemed really nice, he was more of a carter type of blacksmith.
Yeah, definitely.
This scene is very long. It's just like Charles and this young man going out alone to camp out together for a week.
To try to find her, yeah.
And these, like, these shots we just don't normally get.
How does it take 5 days to find her, though? That seems crazy, because that goes back to the whole, like, where is this located and how far is it?
Right, you, all right, so you know where you found the bottle. Oh, you know where you found the baby, right? Mm-hmm. So that has to be a walking distance. So let's say it's probably 2 miles. Like, is that fair? Like, to walk
like 2 miles from Anna's house?
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. I could live with that.
A 2 mile radius does not take 5 days.
On horseback, too.
With two people.
Yeah. This is crazy.
Like, you go that way, you go that way, and then you just do a perimeter. You do a perimeter sweep, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, really, but. You would imagine. Well, and
plus, like, if you're talking, like, it doesn't take that long to cover, like, a couple of miles. Plus, like, you would be able to see, like, a house, like, you like, before you're, like, really near, like, too close mm-hmm. to it, right? And so, if, I'm like, yeah. You could, like, kind of survey and be like, well, hey, there's a house right there.
Right. And that girl looks just like this picture. Whoops. So, yeah, it's a lot of, going around.
Have a little more coffee, huh?
We get, like, a nice 5 o'clock shadow on Charles.
We do not get the 5 o'clock shadow Charles very often.
No. He actually will shave it in a coming scene. He will have less facial hair.
Don't give up.
5 days and nothing.
Well, we knew it wasn't going to be easy when we started.
What if we don't find her?
Well, you're taking that kid. I'm not keeping that kid. He's like, don't ask that question.
I know she loved me. And I know she loved that baby.
I don't know if I really care for Charles's suspenders matching, you know, the same length stripes, not same direction of stripes.
Mm, yeah.
It should be, you know. Something.
It'd be funny if he's, as he's talking to Bobby, he just occasionally unbuttons another button.
It takes down, like, some suspenders.
It was him that made her do it. It had to be.
He's like, I don't really care. I'm basically here to tell people I did this. Even this kid is, you know, growing some facial hair. I would say he's probably a year or two older than...
Yeah. I mean, because I could see her being, like, maybe around 16, and then he's maybe, like, 17, 18.
Bob is saying that he will raise the daughter, and Charles is like, woof! And in the distance, we see that Anna's dad sees... Actually, look at his vest. It's like he made it, you know? It's from Skins. It's kind of crazy.
Another episode where we get the...
the
animal trappers is the hunters, the one when Laura shoots Pa accidentally on the hunting trip, which is actually a pretty good episode.
That is a really
and that's episode. Another one that's kind of like a longer length one like this.
Yeah, it didn't need to be, but yeah. He sees Bobby from a distance and freaks out, runs home.
Where did you go?
Yeah, well, I wasn't having a baby, if that's what you're asking.
I told you.
Tell me again.
I just went for walks in the woods.
Shall I?
So this screaming is unsettling to me. I don't know how you... Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think either one of us likes screaming. But we get this kind of screaming every once in a while on Little House. And I don't know which... like. In Sylvia, did he scream like this?
I don't remember him so much screaming.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a different episode then. But yeah, we do get some like really aggressive dads being like jerks like this.
You were with him.
I wasn't.
She's a terrible liar, by the way.
He doesn't know where I am.
I saw him!
Well, here I think she's not actually lying, though. Because he's like, where were you going? And then she's like, I wasn't seeing him, which is true. She didn't even know, like, you know.
She has no idea that he's nearby. So then she swears
to God. You brought her here. How?
She just has to be super confused here.
The devil brought you together. It had to be. Dear God.
Again, like kind of a Miss Peel moment.
How can I fight this evil? Help me to fight it. How did you bring him here?
All right, so you're swearing to God. All right, so a lot of people will just do that, right? So he's really taking it like crazy. So what is he going to do? He's going to pick up an oil lamp full of oil on fire.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this guy is like so unhinged.
Yeah.
And as crazy and terrible as it is that the baby was alone in the woods and crying, and we don't like to think about that, it's a good thing that she did do it all in secret, because I could see this guy like killing the baby.
I didn't even think of that, and I couldn't agree with you more. Like, the baby is, yeah, far more like living a more peaceful life outside of this lunatic.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't say that!
So it's like a Molotov cocktail. So it's a lot of screaming, and he's like, you were going to stay in here and burn. And it's like,
and like, whoa. This is the kind of thing where we want Anna to be okay. And it's like, I wouldn't want to say that I want anyone to burn to death, but you're kind of like, I don't know, if the dead doesn't make it, then I guess that's okay.
Well, she pushes him away and he hits his head on the concrete base of the chimney. And she's still dragging him out. But, Charles is like, ooh, I smell toast. So he comes running. And the house burned out pretty quickly. I mean, you know, another thing is maybe don't throw an oil lamp in a house where everything is made of like wool, cotton, and wood.
True.
I mean, it's like 20 minutes probably it took this. Jeez. So Charles is checking on the dead. The Papa Molly.
Everything's all right. Everything's gonna be all right now.
He wanted us to die. I pushed him.
Bob's like, you look real good. You look really nice. This is where I thought Charles was gonna say he's dead.
Well, I think this is kind of the first time I watched this where I'm thinking, like, is he dead? And then it's kind of like, I wouldn't be too broken up about it. I mean, yeah, the guy's pretty crazy. I don't want to sound like I'm not, like, wanting anyone to die, but you know what I'm saying. I'd be kind of like,
He's got a bad bump on the head.
You're the man that...
You stole my baby! The sheriff shows up, arrests him.
Yeah.
The way he stands up.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm the hero.
Yup. I am so used to that. Yup.
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 My baby.
Is that what he said?
You're the man that.
Yeah.
Yup.
Yup.
It's actually like kind of, yup. Yup.
Yup.
Sure am.
They're dead.
Wait, I have something I want to play. Let's. I have to set this up. This will just take a second.
He's got a bad bump on the head.
You're the man that.
Yeah.
That's good. That
it would have been better if he said yup at the very end, but you know, hey.
My baby, is she?
She's fine. Get more attention than she should if I know my daughter.
He made you do it, didn't he?
He never knew.
What?
He never knew. All those months. I was so afraid of what he'd do if he found out. I prayed every night that he wouldn't see.
And he's so stupid that he didn't even notice.
Right.
And that's what she should say. So they head off. They're like, we're out of here. We're off to a new life. And Charles wakes up Papa Malo.
My daughter. Where's my daughter?
You mean the one you just tried to kill?
Right. It's kind of like, and we see this a lot in Little House with the bed, with these aggressive dads and stuff. The first thing they want to know is like, where's my daughter? It's like you're protecting them or something like that. You just tried to like kill your daughter.
Burn her. Yeah.
Lunatics.
She's gone. No!
I mean, the way Charles just said that, I mean, how does he know she's not dead, you know?
Mm.
It was just a fire. Like, this music is pretty haunting. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
She went with him, didn't she?
Yup.
Yes.
Yup. This guy looks like the time traveler who's like traveled back in time to kill baby Hitler or something like that.
You know, an alternate thing that Pa could have done is he could have led this guy to believe that his daughter was killed in the fire, which that's could be too. Very cruel to mislead someone that way, but could also be like protection for the daughter.
It could just be Charles being like, I'm going to mess with this guy. Yeah. So this guy's, he's broken, right? I mean, can you be more broken than this guy? He's like, leave me alone. So Charles is like, I can't just leave you here.
Daughter, she's in love with a boy. They want to be married. Where's the evil in that?
She's of her mother. They're the same. Go.
Anna.
Yeah, I mean, I could relate to the guy there.
I can't leave you here.
Go. I don't.
So this is where
that's
it's
like,
weird.
That's like when somebody rings the doorbell.
Wait, that's. Go.
I can't leave you here.
Go.
I need to record that so I can play it if someone comes.
You gotta
to the
like
door.
Mix it Go. Together. Yeah. Now, if you look, this guy's like stepping into the fire.
Yeah.
I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody ever again.
Burn your foot or something. What if he just vanished? He was a time traveler.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
This is where I'm like, all right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll pray for you.
Charles would like throw him a sandwich or something, but the guy's just like, he's broken in his like burned out house. Like, what does that guy do? We get this crazy pullback shot. I don't know if this is handheld or it might be the crane on a truck driving away. Actually, that's worthy of a song, right? What do you think? Which
I agree.
What song?
And are you thinking what song I'm thinking?
I don't know. I was thinking Change the World, but...
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
All right. So let's
we're thinking the same thing.
All right. Let's see what's up with that.
I'd love to change the world.
It was perfect. That was really
so perfect. The ending. Oh my gosh.
Ringo Starr.
that was really good.
Yeah, that was one of the better ones.
I bet everybody's rewinding it right now. That was good. It was a really nicely timed. I did a fade too. I was proud of that. All right.
Yeah, it was good. We're getting
better.
We're getting high tech with this. Yeah.
All right. So meanwhile, back at the little house, Caroline is talking to Mom of the Year.
I want to thank you for letting Laura get the baby ready. It meant so much to her.
You see Laura out the window, like running with the baby.
She's mine. You can never have her.
You go to the bed. It's like just a stuffed bonnet, like with hay, or it's Jack.
Oh. I know it's hard for her. I know how she feels.
Really?
Besides, I should be the one thanking you. No need. It was wonderful having a baby in the house. They grow up so quickly.
Well, you're going to have another baby pretty soon, Ma.
What will that name be?
Grace.
Grace. Do you think they gave the name Grace to kind of trick the viewer a little bit? Like, oh, this is how they're going to find a new... Because, you know, there will be a Grace, of course, that needs to be added right. to the family.
Yeah, I don't know. Or is it just supposed to be coincidental? I mean, I guess it's not an uncommon name, right?
But it's for Laura to pick it, you know?
Yeah.
So let's see. Laura's kind of just crying and holding the baby, and the real mom kind of comes in.
Gone in the day.
Whoops.
Sweater might get a little warm later on in the day. Thank you for everything. Your pa was nice enough to give me a picture of you. I sent mine to you in a bottle, hoping someday you'd show it to my little girl and she'd know me.
Wait, so there's a picture of Laura? I mean, I know in real life they had some pictures of, like, when they were kids, yeah. But... I mean, the Ingalls family on the show, we're supposed to believe that they have pictures of each other.
Maybe they had, like, a drawing or something.
Mm.
It would look kind of like this. All right, I just typed in stick figure. This is the picture of Laura. That's your other mommy.
You just have to add the two braids and it'd be perfect. Oh,
that would be actually really funny. I'm going to do a search to see if it exists.
When she grows up, I wanted to know what her other mommy looked like.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Bye.
It's exactly... almost copyright infringement right there. So she goes on to tell her more good news. This music is kind of like old Italian music in a way, like from The Godfather.
She'll always be called Grace.
So that really made her day. It seemed like that was the biggest impact.
Yeah, that's the name of the baby.
I think it's sweet, right? It's a decent name for a kid. It's not Michael Land Jr.
Yeah.
But, you know, MLJ. Nice face, Laura.
Yeah. Yeah, she's kind of doing a little cry face.
So here's our voiceover.
If I had a remembrance book, I would write about the time that I found a baby in the woods.
I'd never seen
it. And brought it home.
Grace again.
Look at this album cover.
Look at that.
My life would never be the same.
That's like a real Dr. Quinn transition right there. Right.
Yeah, it was like the water bubbling through her face.
Learn what it is to love a baby. All because of a bottle that floated down a creek and into my heart.
I think those are those medicine bottles that they had when they who were trying to sell them for the Bible.
Yeah, they do kind of look like that.
I pray someday I'll have a babe of my own. My very own.
That's kind of it. I mean, we just get these like visuals and we're kind of back
really
to the beginning.
Scenic. It's very nice looking.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a painting.
Yeah, really. And the only thing missing here is we have Bandit, and I just wish we had
Jack.
True story.
Ah, I miss Jack. Jack's the best. And that brings us to the end of and we get the big happy everything's okay now. Yeah. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for doing this episode.
The end of yet another Baby Palooza episode.
Yeah, Baby Palooza 2. It's the biggest thing happening in 2024. And people should definitely check out, of course, you might be listening to this already in Landed Nation. But if you're not, if you're listening to this on Walnut Grovecast, head over to Landed Nation and listen to the same exact podcast. Now, there are other podcasts that you can listen to. We're also working on a lot of different video things, which I think is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And
yeah, we're getting a little more creative with it. And yeah, we have all things Michael Landon. So we have Fidanza, we have Little House, we have Highway.
And
we'll get into some movies and interviews and stuff like that eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this. But yeah, LandedNation.com, WarnerGrovecast.com. Of course, you can look for us on Facebook. You know where we are. If you listen,
and also Dr. Quincast.
Oh, well, how could I forget? Dr. Quincast. It's really... And Baby Palooza does touch upon all three of these podcasts, which is really, really kind of special.
It's a big event.
It's the biggest.
The biggest.